Well, folks, this is a moment many of you have been waiting for, and the audience leapt to its foot. Humble Howard and Fred, hosts of the Humble and Fred Show, sort of. According to Wikipedia, the Humble and Fred Show is a Toronto-based radio morning drive time show featuring co-hosts Humble Howard Glassman and Fred Patterson. It began in 1989 on CFNY-FM, later named Edge 102, before moving to Mojo 640 in April 2001, and finally to Mix 99 in August 2003. Glassman had previously left CFNY for CKFM in May 1991, which became Mix 99 later that year. Holy frig. Only to return 19 months later at the end of 1992. As of 2003, the show had been named Best Morning Show in Canada 4 times by the Canadian radio industry. That's Wikipedia, but we all know how trustworthy Wikipedia is. Humble has been a previous guest on our show. Twice, has it been now, Howard?
Yes, sir.
Twice. Why did we do twice?
Because you know that I'm one of the foremost experts on all things religious pious.
What is it? What's the name of my show again? Most listened to spiritual talk show in Canada.
I just know it's really hot in here all the time.
And yet you wore a sweater again.
A waffle shirt from Joe Fresh, $14.
Nice. You know what? I've had a lot of feedback about the time I was on your show just this past week. I think I've turned a whole new crowd over to your
thing. What kind of feedback?
Well done. It was enjoyable. It was thought-provoking. It was funny. It was, you know, yeah. Were you there for that? Were we talking about the same show?
No, I was going to say, Freddie and I have had a huge amount of feedback from your appearance. In fact, I had a friend of mine, I said this on the show yesterday, who said, the Friday show with Drew was the best podcast ever.
Stop it.
I'm not crapping you. They said it was the best show we've done so far.
I used to be known as the God Guy in Q107 in Calgary. Hey, maybe there's a regular bit for me there on the
isn't
God
that,
guy.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because on our website,
yeah,
I sort of do the postings, and I put God guy. Oh. And I didn't know about that.
Really?
I just put God guy Drew Marshall.
The God guy, yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, Drew, because after you called us yesterday, sort of out of the blue, Freddie says, there's a phone call, it's Drew, should we put him on? I'm like, yeah. I thought, you know, it wouldn't be such a bad thing for us to have you on a semi-regular, whenever you're available kind of basis, because I said the response we got was great. Not just my buddy Tom, who said that was the best one ever, but lots of people enjoyed your appearance.
All I want in return is a ride on the T-Rex. No, what's it called?
The T-Bone.
The G-Zone.
T-Zone.
Did you say the T-Bone?
That was a joke. Can I joke on this?
Hold on.
Drew's mic so much louder than ours.
Listen, stop. Shut up.
Look where Drew's mic is.
Are you serious?
No, look at it. It's way up there. We're not even on.
No.
Is that better? Can we hear?
No. Hello.
Listen. I need to explain something to you professional radio guys. These cardioid Zellers microphones that are in front of you their diaphragm cannot handle your bowels. So back up, will you, please?
All right. Are you serious?
Yeah, they're grinding. Can you not hear the crunch?
You're a thing. I'm just completely. There I am.
Is that better?
Hello.
That's better.
Go.
That's perfect.
Hello.
Perfect right there.
You all right?
Hello. Yeah.
Why do you have one ear on and one ear off? Why do you have that?
I just thought because of the...
No, is that a radio? Is that what cool radio guys do?
No, I don't.
And you guys both have the thing here. Is that a balding thing? What is that?
Which question would you like answered first?
This one. Why do you do that? I saw you both do that.
You know what? It started years ago.
Yeah, I do it because traditionally when I get up in the morning, I have my shower, I do my hair, and I put a little bit of gel in it.
A little something. Mm.
So if I come to work and then put the headset on top, it would create a crease or a crevice.
Yeah.
So that's why I do that.
Yeah.
One off, one on. I've always done that just because I like the sound.
Yeah.
I don't like having both earphones on.
See, I want to learn from you guys.
Traditionally, I have both phones on as loud as humanly possible till my ears start to trickle droplets of blood. And this has been a Humble and Fred thing. Because I was thinning in front, I didn't want to squish it down
anymore.
But I normally have both headphones on.
Tim, would you
That's
mind?
That's fascinating
would
stuff.
You, yeah, that was just a complete,
Drew Marshall
what
show.
Was that? Can you?
We were way better on humbleandfredradio.com.
If it makes you feel better, I would have asked that question too,
Thank
Drew.
You. Thank you very much. I didn't know that you guys were as into religion as I have found out. I've since found out you're very much into religion, so much so that we're just going to play a little clip that reminds us how religious Humble and Fred really, really are.
Okay?
Here we go, folks, from the Humble and Fred Show back in the day.
Oh. The Jew comes over the blue line and lets one go.
Oh, he's one of a handful of Jews in the league. You know, they don't like pork.
But that was a beautiful save by the Catholic goaltender. It's as though he was catching a communion biscuit at a Sunday service. Okay, the puck goes into the corner. The Hindu has it, but the Muslim steals it. A pass in front of the Sikh. He shoots off the post.
Oh, amazing how the Muslim and Sikh are working together, especially when you consider the Sikh has a kirpan under his cooperole.
Play picks up again. The Protestant feeds a pass to the Seventh-day Adventist, drops it back to the Jehovah's Witness. Slap shot, oh, just wide.
Ooh, action is getting intense here. The Jehovah's Witness has been knocking on the door all night.
The Mooney, he dishes the puck off to the Hare Krishna, over to the Branch Davidian, back to the Mooney, Hare Krishna, Branch Davidian, Mooney, Krishna, Mooney, Krishna, Mooney, Krishna, scores!
I tell you, that Branch Davidian is really setting this league on fire. Just a reminder to our viewers, coming up in our second intermission, a priest, a minister, and a rabbi, and of course, Pope's Corner.
My goodness.
What? That might be the best bit ever done on Canadian radio. What do you think?
Well, I'd vote for it.
Yeah.
You know, how that came about, there was a play-by-play guy for the Maple Leafs. I guess that's back in, what, early 90s, would that mm-hmm. be? Named Jigs McDonald. And Matthew Schneider played for the Maple Leafs, and he just happened to make that comment one night. Well, Matthew Schneider, he's the only Jewish player in the NHL. So I just thought that was an odd thing to say for some reason at the time, so I told Howard the next morning, and then a couple hours later, you had that.
And it's incredible. Funny, we did that, and we haven't really, we sort of did it, and it seemed funny to us at the time, but it is one of the most referenced and repeated bits that keep coming up, and we've played it on our little program, and people still enjoy it,
Drew. Is it more requested than Mr. Goohead? Is that, I mean, which is more requested? I mean, how often does Mr. Goohead really come out of the closet?
So well, I wouldn't say, not in terms of requested. I'll tell you what, Goohead, and I said this on the podcast, I used to hate guys that did that on radio where they call people up, and it always seemed mean-spirited to me, and the joke always seemed to be on the person.
Yes.
And then when I started working with Freddie, he'd been doing that bit, and I fell in love with it. So I was going to say, by way of explanation, I'm probably the one that requests it the most because I think it's really sort of the best of it genre because the joke in Goohead isn't just on the person. It involves Goohead being confused by things, and to me, that's where the best humor comes from.
I'm in the toilet. I'm in the, was that a like Chinese food restaurant?
Yes, it was.
I'm in your toilet.
In Lakefield, Ontario, just north of Peterborough.
Well, no, there's a bunch of great ones. The time change one is one of my favorite.
Yeah, but the thing is, the religious thing, that was a one-off. Mr. Goohead, I did. Yeah, stretched over 20 years.
Did you ever get invited to Augusta? Did that ever actually happen?
No, that's a shame.
That's a shame.
You've heard a few of them, Andrew. Yeah.
Are you both golfers? You both are golfers, are you not?
Him more than I. Oh, Howard more than Fred.
Really? I've been playing golf since I was like 11 years old. But I've stopped. I kind of retired about 8 or 9 years ago. I sort of gave it up. I said,
why?
Because I had knees. As Fred will tell you, I can be pretty focused. I get obsessed with stuff.
Really?
I find that hard to believe. But I had been obsessed with golf for a good couple of decades, and I had gotten to the point where I couldn't practice. I actually said this to a friend of mine. The only way I can get better is if I quit my job because I can't spend any more time doing it.
That's weird.
Does Drew know, is it the 5-iron or the 7-iron story?
Now, remember the station. Remember where we're at.
No. He just got mad at one of his his 5-iron one day. He was at the National. And
you wrapped it?
It wasn't performing up to his expectations, the 5-iron. Of course, it wasn't him,
no,
the club.
It was the club.
So on the way home, he opened his car door and scraped it along the 401.
I opened
to get
the door.
Back at it.
No, this was, and it was like literally, I came in, finished the round. The guys took my clubs. I said, no, not the 5-iron. I went and had a beer, got changed, like 45 minutes to an hour later, got in the car, and then I took the 5-iron, which was in the passenger seat. I said, hey, I want to show you something. And I opened the door and I grinded it on the, I said, hi, you like that? How's that feel?
You know what the best part of that story is, though?
Yeah.
That he actually told me. If I did that, I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd be ashamed.
Yeah.
He actually told me that story and shared it with the public.
He seems to be prouder of these types of things.
I don't know. Okay. Proud. I did
More
it for
proud.
The sake of the show.
That's true.
Fred, 22 years at CFNY? 22 years at CFNY?
79 to 2001, yeah. Yeah, so what's that? 22
so
years.
How often?
I think it's, wow. I believe it's 22
years. I believe it's 22 years.
The odds are that it could be 22 years.
I'm not an expert on this matter, but I believe he's saying 22.
Because I'm thinking of the 9 and the 1.
Yeah. No, but he just told you.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
But listen, I just spoke to Buddy briefly because he was in the middle of something. But Buddy Skip Prokop the other day.
Yes.
Did you deal much with Skippy when you were there in the rock and the hard place, man? And,
yes.
And did you accidentally leave Bibles around and stuff? Or
no, he didn't at the time. In fact, I didn't know that he had become a Christian at the time.
Yeah. Well, now we're talking about the drummer and founding member of Lighthouse, Skip Prokop.
That's right. The thing is about Skip, though, I'm honored to say that I have actually performed on stage with him.
With Lighthouse?
As the drummer. No, not as Lighthouse. Oh. Back in the old CFNY days, every Christmas we would have a Christmas party for the listeners, right. And we would put a band together. You were involved 1 year, weren't you?
A couple years when I was there, but it was the Skip Prokop thing was when before
that was
I got
before
there.
You. And then 1 year I used to do the Cult's Love Removal Machine. I did a song called Snow Removal Machine. And I got up on the stage and performed it, and Skip played the drums for it. So that was a big moment.
That's very cool.
In fact, for the weeks preceding that, he lived in Brampton at the time, too, mm-hmm. And I still live in Brampton. He would pick me up, and we'd go to rehearsal and have some fabulous talks. He's a good man.
Wow.
We have a similar story that happened to Fred and I. Years later, we were at Mojo. It was 2001, Christmas of 2001, and we'd been friends with Stephen Page and the guys in the Bare Naked Ladies. And that fall, Jack Layton was trying to get support, and yeah. Stephen Page was helping him. And they both came in for an interview on our show. And we sort of said to Stephen Page, hey, we'd love to have you at the very first Humble and Fred Christmas at Mojo. And Jack made some kind of wager, like if we would join the NDP, then Steve would play at our Christmas show. So we did, not thinking anything of it. For me, it was a great moment because I got to play guitar on with Stephen Page singing Brian Wilson. But the best part of that story is, for years after, we would get calls from the NDP fundraiser, and we would go, no, we did it. We did it as a joke.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
not really in the NDP. Stop calling us.
Wow.
They'd want us to send checks or show up at rallies
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, dress in orange. And
yeah, but we were actually NDP card members for some time.
Wasn't going to, yeah.
Can I just make a comment about your blogs? First of all, you both of you have blogs. Howard... you have a blog. Fred, you have a blog. Fred, your blog is a real one. Well thought out, creatively expressed, paragraphs, points, the whole thing.
I don't have a blog.
Howard, yours is just a bunch of 140-character tweets automatically regenerated from your Twitter account.
I gave up my website a while ago. I started doing stuff. I started blogging on Boom. By the way, I agree with you about Fred's blog, a Canadian thinker. I actually went there today. But for a while, I had a site where I would blog thoughtfully, and then I started doing it when I started working at 97.3. I started blogging on that website, and then what happened was our friend Boone just took my website, and all it is whenever I tweet at HumHow, it shows up.
Yeah. It's a smart way of doing it. It really is. And some of the things on your blog, Fred, are very insightful. But you do crap on a bit about bocce ball.
Yeah, I love bocce ball.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a love for bocce ball.
It's a great game.
You know what I...
Especially
you know what
when you're drinking.
Yeah, you know what I love about bocce ball? It's the company that I keep while I play bocce ball. Because I have a trailer up north of Peterborough on Lovesick Lake, Burley Falls. And it's a great community of people that are in the park, a very small park. We all know each other. And we pass a lot of time playing bocce ball on the beach. So it becomes
A social thing,
yeah. A talking point, yeah. A rivalry thing with me and my buds.
Why not horseshoes?
I don't know. It just there was a guy up there years ago that was into bocce ball, and we just followed his lead, and it's just tradition. I mean, there's a horseshoe pit there, Drew, but we never look at it.
What's your name again? Howard. Do you go
Harold?
Do you go north too as well? Do you have a cottage? Because you're kind of a big deal. People know you.
For years, I spent every summer, every waking minute of every summer golfing, and never really experienced North Ontario until a few summers before I retired from golf in 2003, I started going up. And it is one of my, if I don't really have a lot of regrets, but it's one of those things I look back and wish I would have gotten into sooner right. because I love it so much.
Yeah, because I've heard you say there's nothing more that you like better than go up north, hang out at a cottage, you know, whatever.
Right. And it's ironic because years ago when Fred started going to the trailer with our good friend Dan Duran, I used to sort of joke with him, like, why would you guys leave the city? It's so, why would you leave a perfectly good city to go sit by a lake? And yeah. now there's nothing I'd rather do.
Well, I'd like to take this point in the show to invite both of you up to the Marshall Cottage this August. Which is in Cobequonk, Ontario.
Are you going to try and drown us and make us a Jesus person? Like that episode of Boardwalk Empire where the religious, you see that, where the religious agent, he drowned his partner at a baptism? Yeah, it was freaky.
Well, no, I just thought I'd take out for a spin.
Is it on Balsam?
In the sea. No, it's on the closed lake, a shadow.
Kawarthus or
Kawarthus.
When I was a kid, I used to go up there all the time to Cobequonk. Was the bar the Patty House?
The Patty House, buddy. Yeah. It's still there. You know what? When I was a teenager, I used to sneak into the Patty House when it was a biker hangout, and I felt so at home. They're the only group of people I've ever felt comfortable with. The Baptists, the Pentecostals, no. Bikers, totally feel at home with those guys.
Drew, when I was, I guess, in the 70s, and I guess in my late teens, I bought a 65 Dodge van from my mother's boss.
Is that one of those kidnapper vans?
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. It was a panel van. Yeah. It was panel, no windows in the side like they have now. And all I had in the back was a mattress. And me and my girlfriend used to drive around Southern Ontario and do things in the back of it.
Wow.
Of which I would like forgiveness for now.
Well, that's why you're here.
I'm sorry,
that's
why you're like, here. What kind of things would you do in the back? Like, just, like, read the Bible?
No, but I really feel guilty all these years later, but I had a lot of fun in that van. And often we would go to Balsam Lake Provincial Park.
Now, listen, is your mother listening today, Fred?
Yes, probably, yes.
Hi, June.
Hi, Mrs. Cleaver? Hi, what?
Mrs. Patterson.
June Patterson. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet woman.
Is she as nice as George Strombolopoulos' mother? Because George's mother listens to my show.
Yeah, I've never met
her. And now your mother listens to my show.
Yeah.
My mother would listen to your show, except she's deed.
Oh, sorry to bring that up. did you grow up in a God household?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Okay.
Nothing. Never. No. Never mentioned.
So, but it seems to intrigue both of you. I mean, genuinely, no shtick. It seems to intrigue both of you. And it's not just interesting content. I think it, and I don't mean to say, let me give you a Bible because he looks so interested. I just mean, honestly, it just seems something that intrigues both of you. Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, I don't know where it comes from for Fred, but I grew up in a fairly traditional Jewish home. I don't say observant because we lived on the prairies, and our way of observing was that we had a tiny synagogue in Moose Jaw where we had a couple hundred Jewish people. By the time I was 13 years old and bar mitzvahed, I think I told you this last time, I was the last kid bar mitzvahed in Moose Jaw. After that, there was no one, literally, of an age, there was no Jewish people left. But because I lived in Moose Jaw, I was always exposed to the other side of it. I was one of the very few Jewish kids, so my surrounding world was Christianity and Christians and Catholicism. I sang in a choir that, we went to the Presbyterian church. So I had a lot of it, whereas a lot of Jews who are, basically in big cities are ghettoized. They live in the Jewish neighborhood, right. Montreal, Toronto.
Thornhill.
But Thornhill, Bathurst and Eglinton. But because I didn't live in a Jewish environment, I was always intrigued by the other side. I always thought it was an interesting story. Mm. And I wasn't taught to not believe in it. I was just taught that we believed this. Mm-hmm. But I really never believed that either. As soon as I was bar mitzvah, that was literally one of the last times I was ever in a synagogue, except when I got married.
Fred, what's your baggage?
I have. I grew up in a godless home, but I was always
godless home.
Yes, I was always intrigued by the stories. And I lived on a street with some Catholics, and they had their, what do you call that stuff, catechisms and baptisms and
confirmation.
Yes. And confirmations and when
trials
and when people would christen or baptize their children. And I always just thought this bizarre because it was never part of my life. So I've always been interested from the standpoint that I hope there's a God. Like, it would be really cool if this guy existed and he was there looking after us. And But I've never been able to totally buy into it, right, because I just haven't had enough proof, Drew.
And this hope that there's a God thing, I know doesn't sit well with you, Humble, because we talked about that on your show last week, because your immediate default to that is, oh, so that means you throw over all responsibility to this unknown, unseen entity, and you're not responsible for blah, blah, blah?
Well, no, I don't. No, but the point I was making about people that believe in it to the exclusion of all common sense is that, yeah, you know, it's a little bit of... you know, absconding of responsibility, right, to the higher power. And I have no problem with people believing that there's something beyond us, whether it's karma or just going around comes around, whatever it is. All I was trying to say that day is it's a little immature to think that everything is going to be okay because of the big guy in the sky.
And I agree with that totally. But again, I'm in a situation where I can't say there isn't a God because I don't know any more than I know that there is a God.
And Howard?
I think I'm pretty confident in saying that
I
there isn't.
I think I'm pretty confident.
I'm confident. I don't agree with that. I'm okay to say that there isn't a God and that let's just, you know, live. You know, and there was a thing that one of our producers sent us about Carlin, and I wish I could remember the exact quote. What was basically, take joy in every moment because the joy in life is in understanding that those are, that is the joy in life is to enjoy life. Not to wait and enjoy it later, and that not, and you know, Lennon said that, you know, this isn't a dress rehearsal. A lot of religion is based around the concept that, you know, suffer now, and you know, why, you know,
rewards in heaven, jewels in the crown,
well, and the virgins will be there, should, you know, sacrifice now, you'll get virgins in heaven, or whatever it is. Yeah. It's all a bunch of crap.
That's weird, eh?
It's all, and you know what, and it's you know, it's one thing to say, that religion's weird, or that religion, this religion's weird, but it's all weird.
Right.
It is, and don't get me wrong, if I had to bet right now, and I you held a gun to my head, I would say no, there isn't,
yeah,
because there's no tangible proof for me. I'm just...
But then I think you're just hedging your bet.
No, I'm just saying there's just so many people that are into this.
Well,
it's just
good.
It always has me thinking, yeah, you know, what if?
Well, a lot of people watch Wheel of Fortune. It's still a crappy show.
Okay, so what's that got to do with God?
Okay,
well, it means but, it just well, a lot of people maybe believe
but,
in it.
But yeah. Fred brings up an interesting point,
oh,
which
of course
is...
He does. Wait.
I'm not supposed to.
No, he does constantly. No points for you. And I see both sides of that argument. I mean, look, since the history of mankind, from the beginning until now, people have tribalized around the concept of God. People have done that.
Yes.
And so there's something in us that is begging or hoping for a God. And I guess, you know, the Bible says God did that. Like when he made us, he wasn't stupid. He left a little microchip in there that would make us eventually turn skyward and go, are you there? What are the things that preclude, like give me the number one thing in your mind, Howard, that says, I can't do this. I can't buy into the number one thing.
It's very, very simple. Knowledge and information is power and freedom. If you'd like me to...
Yeah, so you're saying we're smarter today, so there's no need for this God stuff?
The reason that there's always been tribalizing and cultures around the concept of gods,
right,
or a god is because 6,000 years ago when the Jews gathered at the Mount Sinai, it was just a way of explaining...
The hospital?
Yes, Mount Sinai Hospital.
The hospital.
Yes, Fred. Mount Sinai Hospital.
Wow. That was crowded.
I think Fred thinks that the hospital. Anyways,
oh, my goodness. Stay focused, please.
All of it's by way of explaining the way the world works.
Right. So we used to go with it when there was thunder in the sky. We used to go with the gods were angry. Now we can explain
people
it.
People needed a reason. They needed to know why the sun came up in the morning and that some days it hailed and some days it was bright and windy. And you know, I saw an interesting thing on Facebook or an email today. Someone said, don't forget, Howard, Jesus is the reason for the season. And he's not the reason for the season. Because if you knew the origins of all the different religions that had festivals around December, the sun god Ra and the pagans, Jesus isn't there. He wasn't born on December 25th. But the problem is, like a lot of things, like conservatism in the States, mm-hmm, most people don't really know. They're kind of stupid. They're kind of dumb. And they don't really know the facts. And so all it is faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't ever look and see that, You know, the Christians didn't adopt December 25th as Jesus' birthday for many hundreds of years. But if you don't bother to find that out, you just think, December 25th is Jesus' birthday. Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. But it's wrong.
Which is where Satan lives.
But it's all predicated on a lack of information and knowledge.
Right, right.
Even to this day.
So
that's all I have to say.
Right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's the end of the show,
now back
folks.
To some fart jokes.
Is there a Christian that you guys know, whether it's a famous person you know by distance or someone you know personally, that you actually admire? A Jesus person, for example, Strombo would say his mother.
I admire you.
That's ridiculous.
I do. I mean, you're one of my favorite Christian, you know, Jesus people.
But that's because I
like
suck
my boy,
at it.
I like my boy Tim. Yeah. What?
No, is there, like, for example, I would bring up the name, say, Billy Graham. There's someone that I say, you know, there's a guy who really never got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, because I honestly don't think his hand was in the cookie jar. He seems to be a man of integrity. He seems to live what he preached. So I look at him and I go, all right, there's someone I you know, and I got to be honest, there's very few out there, guys, that I say I admire. Very, very few. Anybody that you guys...
See, part of the problem with me is I admire the way Howard gets into religion. I've never got into the intricacies of religion because I'm so turned off by it that I don't care to know about it. Because, you know, one person's gospel is another person's...
garbage.
Garbage. No, perfect.
Yeah.
No, that's it exactly. Yeah. So... even when it comes to Christians, I don't know. My father-in-law is a staunch Seventh-day Adventist. Is that a Christian? Like, I don't even know. We don't discuss religion. I don't with him because I find he's just a little too far out there for my liking.
Yeah, yeah.
But a wonderful man, great father-in-law,
super
father. Love to be around him. Love to golf with him. He's a great guy. Again, he's never been caught with his hand in the cookie jar either.
Right. But do you admire? Do you think that his belief in that stuff is it? There's a direct correlation between his belief in that stuff and the type of man he is?
I think so. Yeah, so, I really do.
Right. So mm-hmm. Is that something that, you know? For example, Howard, if there were far more Jesus people walking around who were just integrity and like, how can I help you? What can I do? You know, bend over for everybody in the whole world. What can I do? Kind of, would that impress you more? Would you go, geez, there's something to this Jesus stuff if the Jesus people actually live like Jesus?
You know, don't get me wrong. And we've had this discussion now a couple of times. I have no – let me state, I admire anyone that has found a way to make the day-to-day – aggravations that we all experience in life. I admire anyone that's found a way to kind of, you know, mission through that, whether it's through yoga, meditation, whether it's Christianity or they're an observant Jew. That's great. But I was talking about the overall umbrella concept of religion.
Right.
And Fred's right. I have always been fascinated by it. I've always read about it. My best friend, Dan Arden, mutual best friend, Dan's father was a minister. And I remember back when I first met Cliff, Dan's dad, and I used to ask him these type of questions. And if this is true, why does that true? And the way he explained it, and we've had this discussion too, is faith versus fact. I get it. I'm all for people having faith in whatever they observe. I just think
hold on, I'm going to call you in that one. Because if you, seriously, that's not, you know, the mamby-pamby pluralistic thing drives me a little bonkers. So when someone says, believe whatever you want, so, but I think you would
that's
put
not
a
what
boundary.
I'm saying.
No, yeah.
I'm saying not believe whatever you want. What I'm saying is whatever helps you get through, whatever
right.
it is you're trying to get through, and that's why, you know, maybe.
As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, are we going to throw that in there?
I won't even get to that cliche. What I'm saying is in the discussion of religion as a why have we always had it? Well, we've always done a lot of things that we don't do anymore. Mm. We never used to be able to fly, you know, to take off and leave the earth, but we can now. Mm. And so a lot of things have been explained. So I think in another 1,000 years, there'll be less religion, not more.
So what gets you through the night? When you have a marriage that falls apart or issues with X, Y, or Z, what gets you through the night? When you hit bottom?
Well, I like to get a buzz on, Drew.
Yes.
You know, I will say, I'll quote something that Fred said. I think.
In other words, why haven't you leaned out? No, not why haven't you. No, I want to know. What gets you through
gets
the night?
Me through?
In the deepest, darkest.
Is that I think that I go around as a generally kind of guy that I'm not trying to hurt people. I think that I try and go around in a way that I hope gives people a good sense, and I certainly don't go out of my way to hurt anyone. And if I can help somebody, I do. There's my religion.
Hold on, but if you get into a deep, dark funk and you are just seriously depressed and bummed and sad and
I'll tell you what, I rely on myself. I got fired, you know, 5 years ago. I said, I'm going to learn a new business. I got fired 7 months ago. I said, Freddie, why don't we do something new?
Yeah.
So I know that sounds, maybe that's not what you're looking for, but that's what I've always relied on.
No,
I've always
I'm relied, not looking for anything.
I've always relied on the, I've been on my own since I was 17. Yeah. I've always relied on the fact that I believe in a positive way, that things will work out for me and my family.
Right. Okay. How's that? All right. What are you chewing on, Fred?
No, I think I said this when you visited our show last week.
I'm on fairradio.com.
If God's as great as they say he is and he does exist, he will judge us on the type of people we are.
Right.
Not the institutions we visit, the tithes we pay.
Yes.
That's what keeps me going. But Howard refers to losing a job. Like, that's kids' play as far as I'm concerned. I think you have to be faced with... No, seriously. Because I've lost my job, too, and I never turned to God. I've never turned to God for anything.
Right.
But tell me next week that I have cancer, and then let's see what goes through my mind.
Right, right,
when
right.
It's desperation.
Yeah.
Hold on. Sorry. So when it's desperation. And that, I think, is the true challenge on where your belief is and how deep it is and how susceptible you are to be influenced by...
Yeah.
Something up there, if it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, but you've lost your father. That was a pretty big test.
Yes, but he was 84 years old, and he had a great life, and people die in the
race. It was something that made sense, right?
It made sense to me. Now, if my dad had died at 44, then that may have been a completely different situation.
Well, I will say this. You know, I haven't been tested. One of my, you know, God, you know, hasn't, you know, taken one of my kids and tested me that way in terms of will I believe in a God at that point. But
see, with that example, that's a bad example to bring up because that's the argument. My statement is, mess with my kids, we're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
you know,
you say if he's so great. I don't even say that. How can you? There's no if he or she or they or what. Here's the thing. The world is explained in a lot of different ways. People know things now. There's no. I don't think there's any place for religion. Nothing needs to.
Oh, no, there's no place for religion.
No, and we talked about that last week on your show. And that's again, let me just clarify this and restate it. The main reason Jesus was killed, was crucified, was because he came down and said, you know what? Religion? Crap. And they killed him. So what did his followers do a few days after his death? They started a religion. Some things we just don't get. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's cute.
It's
cute because
it wasn't
a few days. It was about 300 years after his death.
Stop it.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even believe he existed. It was an amalgam of other things.
Do you worship Tom Harper?
No, here's what I worship. I worship things that are real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do believe there's some things that can't be explained, but I don't really know what they are.
Right.
But the fact is, a lot of people believe in this book, the Quran, which is a ripoff of the Bible, which is a ripoff of the Torah, which is a ripoff of a bunch of other pagan-based, you know, festivals. So let's, you know, it's cute that everyone believes in it. That's great. You know, you guys believe in the New Testament. We call that the sequel.
That's so,
that's funny, Ben.
That's a little bit of a religious bit.
This is so typical of the thing. Now you're arguing the Bible and whether...
I don't believe that. I believe it's just a cute little story.
Okay.
Do you argue about this stuff regularly?
No, we don't because we rarely talk about it. But the thing is, I don't believe in the Bible that stuff happened. I believe it's a cute little story, too. I understand all that stuff. And I think churches are a waste of time and paying tithes are stupid and all that stuff. I'm just talking about this supreme being that's supposed to be there.
Right.
So that's the one that I just can't totally write off.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the risk of annoying my listeners, because I do rattle on about this a little too much, this crisis of faith thing that I'm processing, I mean, I'm right back to square one. I mean, I've been hanging out in the Jesus scene for 30 years. I know all the nuances, and I know all the bumper stickers. But I'm at this point now where I'm just kind of rewinding everything right back to that original thing that you were just talking about, Fred, which is not the Bible and not this and the scripture and the stories and the true and the science or whatever. No. Is there God? And what I'm figuring out is that I was never taught that doubt could be part of your faith. And so I'm figuring out now that it's actually okay. As a matter of fact, I think I said this too much already, but doubt is more compatible with faith and certainty. I said that the opposite way on your show. I listened to it later because I'm an egocentric person. And I said it the opposite way. But doubt is more compatible with faith and certainty. So me doubting the existence of a God is actually turning out to be something that is having a greater impact on this world of faith for me.
You know, there have been times, whether it was in at a lake or a beautiful moment with family, or seeing my daughters do something for the first time, and or flying over Toronto at sunset while the sun's just on the edge of the horizon, the city's there, and it's calm, and you're in a beautiful state. I just don't feel that those moments require me to give thanks to something other than just I feel gratitude and I feel blessed to be alive in that moment. And I think more that's my version of religion. I feel great. I feel happy to be here hanging out with you guys. As I read that Carlin quote, like, these are the moments. Like, I love the fact that as I've gotten older, I've learned to recognize those as opposed to, man, I'll be happy one day if only Fred and I can get a... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's changed with me over my last 5 or 6 years for sure, is that I know one thing. We're only given a few days, and you better enjoy every one of them.
Right.
It's interesting what Howard said there as well, because when I'm in that situation, I agree. I'm not giving thanks to anybody, but I find myself going, all this just fits together too well, like the round ball and the sun going and people, you know, being energized off the sun and trees growing because of it. And then we have winter, and it just all fits too much that somebody might not have put this together.
Exactly. And when I was on your show, that's why I said, I said, as far as I'm concerned, when I look around, when I get behind the science of things, when I get behind the ecological miracles that I think are out there, and I kind of go, wow, man, this is, I'm not sharp enough to get all this. And so I am astounded by all of this. Yeah, it does reek of design for me. For me, it reeks of design. And that's,
it doesn't reek of design for me. There's a place in my mind that allows for that. That thought.
Right.
And
the possibility.
I respect that, my point I was trying to make is that, you know, really...
He almost has to come back to his point.
No, but I'm saying dovetailing on what Fred was saying.
Yes.
I don't believe in those moments of joy that I think about design. I think about how lucky I am to be in that moment, whether it's, that's all I was trying to say, that there's a gratitude and a graciousness and a humbleness, if I may say, about those moments to me.
I want to come back to just the basics of a God in your life, in your studies of other faiths. Have you ever looked into, I don't know whether you have or not, Fred.
Well, I've been exposed to Seventh-day Adventists for the last couple of decades or three.
And they would still fall into the Christian camp.
I guess.
For the most part, yeah.
My father-in-law has, on a couple of occasions, took my children, asked if he could take them, and they never wanted to go back because it was just so unlike anything they get at home, and I never made them go back, but I never prevented them from going either. That's probably the closest religion I've ever been to by default, but I've never, ever had any interest in pursuing it or finding out more. I haven't.
It is, for me, really important to hang on to the stuff that I believe Jesus said, I think. It's easy to love people that are easy to love, but to love people that are hard to love, I'd like to try to do that. I'd like to be better at that. And I find the Jesus stuff helps me with that. The other thing is, how I make a difference and leave a legacy is going to be measured by how much I have done for others. There is an othering aspect that Jesus taught that I dig, and I see it very rarely. And that's why I said to you earlier, if I saw more Jesus people othering the way that Jesus was talking about othering, then I wonder what impact Christianity might really have on the world. If there is a religion, the simple people have to get it. The hockey players have to get it. You know what I mean? The rodeo guys have to get it. The meatheads have to get it. It can't be some Scientology figure step 27 and get your chakra cleared by such and such or whatever. It's got to be simple, understandable. It's got to be based in love. And it has to really be a servant-based, what can I do for you kind of a thing. That makes sense to me.
And I love the way you say that. I think it's a great way to go around the world. And it doesn't have as, to me, I can hear you say the same sentence without anything to do with Jesus. There's lots of philosophy and philosophers through the ages that, let's say Jesus, just for a second, I know this is going to make you crap your pants, but let's say it didn't exist, boo-hoo.
Okay, there's no Jesus. Thanks,
but
Mr. Harper.
But let's say there were no Jesus and there were other people, whether it was different philosophers, Plato, Socrates, Nietzsche, whatever, that you could find examples of that. Well, then, to me, that's just as valid. Mm. You've chosen this great teacher, and that's fantastic. Can I just say one thing, though? You know,
yes, please.
The problem for me with religion is always not so much because it's fine if you believe in something, and that's fine. Again, the old cliche, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. But the problem with religion is if you look historically, because you've asked me about other religions, Judaism, you know, whether it's, you know, Muslims or Christians, eventually what they all do is try and get everyone into their way of thinking to the exclusion of everything else. I remember once I had this argument, and this is what happened, was somebody said to me, oh, you're a Jew, you can't go to heaven. And this was pretty young when this happened. I said, well, why is that? Because they were fundamental, they were Baptist, and they said, well, because the only way you can get to heaven is to take Jesus as your personal savior. I said, well, there's a lot of fine Jewish people then that are SOL, I guess is what you're saying. Forget the guys that built hospitals and wrote plays that gave people joy. Yeah. They're not going to heaven because, again, it's because that fundamentalist attitude is that you must believe this, everything else is wrong.
But do you know where that comes from, though?
But I was going to say, proselytizing?
Proselytization.
Proselytization is why those guys flew the planes into buildings.
Right.
Because they said, ours is the right way, yours is the wrong way, you're the devil.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with religion.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree totally with what he just said. I do, because it gets back to this. Yeah, religion to me is stupid for everything Howard just said.
And I thank you.
Wow. One thing you said.
Oh, did I say anything?
Yes,
good?
A couple of minutes ago about learning to love someone who maybe doesn't necessarily deserve to be loved.
Right.
No, no. What about Jerry saying? Is that basically what you said, though, Drew?
Yes. Yeah.
Having that ability?
Yeah.
What about Jerry Sandusky?
Yeah. Are you saying, are we supposed to love
should
him?
Should we find room for Jerry Sandusky? Jerry Sandusky,
yeah.
That's one of the reasons I don't believe in God, because I think if there's a God, how could he allow that to happen? Yeah. How could a Jerry Sandusky be allowed to breathe under the watchful eye of a great God?
Or the guys that flew the planes into buildings.
Is that
or
too simplistic?
No, but it comes, look, okay. I wanted you guys on the show because I wanted our listeners to hear two guys who don't get the Jesus scene. Mm-hmm. You just don't. I mean, you really don't. And I wanted to hear. No, I don't mean from an ignorant point of view.
You have a Jew quota, I believe. And I fulfill that.
We
need at least one Jew per month. And Jesus said, when you do a talk show, have a Jew. Why not have a Jew? I was a Jew.
When I used to be a pastor at a church in Australia, it was required to dive into the Old Testament every once in a while. So, yes, you're right. That's why I am. That's why you're here. Stop distracting me. I had a good point, and you just you fired me off on something else.
You're very, very scattered, I find.
Would you stop, please? Sorry. Just stay focused. look, the reason that people, and you guys, tell me, I know you've heard this before, so let me just share this with you at the chance that maybe you haven't. In order for there to be true love, there has to be a choice. You can't force a woman to love you because that's not true love. You can't put a gun to the head and say, love me, baby. She says, oh, I love you, baby, and it's true love. So there has to be a choice. There has to be a choice between not loving and loving. In order for that choice to be in the world that we live in, there has to be choice, the ability to choose. And in order to have the ability to choose, you have to choose from things. And in those things are two basic, simple realms, good and bad. You can choose to do good. You can choose to do bad. God, if there is a God, wants us to love him, I'm sure of. In order for that to be real love, we have to have a choice, which means we have to live in a world of choice, of choices. And therefore, we live in a world where people have the choice to fly planes into buildings and be whack jobs and take their religion too weird or whatever, or rip off people at the churches in Toronto, whatever. So that's when, you know, when people say, I can't believe there's a God because why would he let that happen? Well, the reason he's let that happen is because he has to have this ethos of choice in order for there to be real love. That's what I think. Does that make any
sense? No, to me, that's just an excuse for this stuff happening under God.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds
like justification.
It sounds like, exactly.
Yeah. So Which is why I normally don't waste time saying all that.
No, because that what you just said really doesn't fly with me. I don't have a lot of time for that because, you know, there is good and bad, and I would just like to think if there's a God that it should all be good. Maybe that's naive on my part.
No, but Fred, what Drew said is basically the patent, not that he didn't say it very articulately.
Thank you. Which he did.
And lyrically, to tell you the truth.
Even.
But it is the pat answer for, well, why doesn't God take care of all these things? Because God gives us free will. Right. Now, here's what I would say to you. Rather than say, I am the light of the world, is what Jesus said, can it just be, you're the light of the world? That, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking as a 17-year-old,
how do you like that little Bible quote?
Who left the farm and has been his own man ever since?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I guess to a point. But why does it have to be Jesus said, I am the light of the world? Can't you just be the light of the world?
Yeah, I think...
Wait a second. It's like that new age thing they say now, be the change, or not new age. It's what Gandhi said. Be the change you see in the world. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a great philosopher. Do that.
Yeah. Was that before or after he drank the urine?
That's one of my favorite things. We used to do this bit. I said, you know that Gandhi drank a cup of his own urine every day? And I said to Fred, where in the beverage chart is urine?
Right.
I'm a little thirsty. I could have a glass of water, maybe a Fresca. Anyone got any urine?
Does that come in a six-pack?
What was that movie Gandhi. That started off with Kevin Costner? No, who was
it? Yes, Kevin Costner as Gandhi.
Peeing in a cup on a raft. Remember Waterworld?
Waterworld. Kevin Costner.
That's the opening scene. He pees into a machine.
Drew, be the light. Be your own light of the world. There you go.
You know, I think the reason that the Jesus thing is so directly related to people saying Jesus is the only way. Not only is it written in the New Testament, but I think it has to do with the fact that the atonement thing. And as a Jewish guy,
Jewish,
you should know the atonement scenario, and that's what deep exhale and your head's tilting, you're getting a headache.
I've got a bit of a headache anyway. But no, go ahead.
What were you doing?
Yeah, what was going on there? What was going on? There's a lull here, guys.
I'm a little hot in here.
No. One thing I was going to say to Howard, based on what he has said and the whole Jew, you get offended by people that say derogatory things about Jews. You do.
You get more offended about.
No, I
know. Get offended when I play the Jew card for comedic sake.
That's a bit, though, to get you going.
But I'm not offended.
I've been in situations before where people have said
because of maybe
anti-Semitic things, and then you get. So if you don't believe in it or...
Well, no, but it's the same way.
Well, that's a good question, Fred. That's a good question.
But it's not because of the religion.
If you're not really a Jew, why are you so offended when people make Jew jokes?
I don't get that offended. I think it's rude and ignorant to make disparaging remarks about
anybody. Okay.
Whether it's Jews or you're black or you're... if I were Chinese, I wouldn't want you to make... Maybe I would. Chinese are funny.
You're such a meathead. Unbelievable.
Oh, that's funny. I don't. Okay, if I were Chinese, I'd be cool with it.
And I'm not criticizing you on this point. You understand.
No, I know.
But I have been in situations before where somebody have said something, you've called them on it, and then... if there's no basis to it or you don't believe in it, why do you care? More of a cultural thing?
Yeah, more of a cultural thing. Yeah. It's okay. Who I am. And I'm probably more offended for my... my kids have
this people.
Thing. Well, my parents and my family. And my kids have this thing where, you know, in their schools, this has happened, like, within the last, you know, few months, where someone will throw a penny in front of one of my daughters and go...
Are you kidding
and
me?
And say, oh,
what?
I've never told you this. And I've said... they tell me stories that kids will throw pennies at them and go, Jew change. And I say, and that doesn't offend you? They go, no. I said, they're all just kidding. I go, but honey, you should be... It's not a very nice thing to do. And they don't care about it, but it bothers me.
I care about it.
Well, you know what I'm... So that's what... Yeah. To answer your question, if somebody did that, I'd be offended because they're ignorant. They're ignoramuses, and it's not a very pleasant thing to... It's not a good stereotype to take with you. To say that anybody is all one way, to say that all Jesus people are this way, I'd be offended for you.
Okay, let's kind of wrap it up on this one. I went to hear a good friend that everyone knows, Tarek Fatah, speak at Idea City. sat there and watched and supported, and he was the only guy. What are you chuckling about already?
Because I'll tell you. I have a Tarek Fatale on.
Oh, okay, all right. Standing ovation. He was the only guy that I saw get a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been because he was in a wheelchair and there was a sympathy vote. I don't know
why. He wasn't standing.
No, he wasn't. Yeah.
Although I've tried that. I never get a standing
ovation. No, it doesn't work. But here's the deal. The reason he got a standing ovation is because he was taking the mickey out of what his people believe. He was basically saying, look, I do believe I am a Muslim, okay, but I'm not this kind of Muslim. And everyone went, rah, 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 good job. I get that same kind of praise from people when I say, yeah, I'm a Jesus guy, but I'm not that kind of a Jesus guy. Oh, good for you, good for you. Is there ever a point that we're going to get to where someone can say, this is what I believe, and it's okay to stand on it? See, it's a cheap joke. We've all seen people do cheap comedy, and you go, that's just, come on, you know. It's the same kind of a thing. It's cheap applause for me to get applause for bashing goofy Christian stuff. It's cheap. Can somebody ever stand on something, especially here in Canada, and go, this is what I believe, and be okay about that? Is that cool or not?
Do you not think that happens
now? Because
there's
a Canadian ethos.
Well, no, I think as long as it's not radical, I think most people in this country.
But that's the problem.
I agree with what Fred says.
But that's the problem. Who says it's radical? As soon as someone says, this is what I believe, and I actually think it's all true,
no.
Then somebody else says, that's radical.
Here's what makes it radical. If you say, this is what I believe, and what you believe is wrong, that's radical. In fact, it's so wrong,
But hold on, that makes sense.
No. If somebody says, not only is what yours wrong, I'm going to kill you for it, that's radical.
Yeah.
And by the way, Tarek Fatale. We've done a few appearances with him on News Talk, and he wrote this book called The Jew Is Not My Enemy. When he first wrote it, I'd see him in the halls and go, hey, Tarek, I am your enemy. Just for fun. You know, that's cheap, but
when it comes to the foundational belief structures of world religions, you cannot say that all of them, like if someone says, this is what I believe, and part of what I believe means that this is true, which automatically means that this and this and this is not true, that's easy math. If you have a Hindu belief or a Buddhist belief, today actually people are combining the two, so there are a lot of Bindus out there. There are belief systems that say there are multiplicity of gods, and then there are belief systems that says there's one God. So they don't line up. You can't get all kumbaya about this stuff. It doesn't mathematically make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
So none of it makes any sense. Thank you and good night.
And I think that's you can talk about an easy way out. I think that's an easy way out.
Well, I think it's a better way out than
But I don't know what you're saying. Seriously.
I do.
Okay.
He's saying that basically by definition, religion means that mine's right, yours is wrong, what do we do about it? Well, what we do about it is have no religion and worship tiger. That's what we do. Actually, you know what Fred and I worship? HumbleAndFredRadio.com.
I'm sorry, what was
that's
that?
That's HumbleAndFredRadio.com.
My headphones aren't, what?
Tim, can you say that?
HumbleAndFredRadio.com.
It's Humble big, and Fred. It's big with all the Christians.
Hey, listen, if it means we'll get more downloads, believe it, Jesus was a golfer.
You know,
I don't care.
There was something in the news in the past week. Again, I guess to change the subject here, it was the woman downtown who had is it hijab or
yeah
over her face, and that other woman come up and ripped it off.
That was in Brampton, your hood.
It happened in. Oh no, she was from Brampton. But I think it happened downtown.
Okay,
but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that was a great story for me based on the fact that I don't agree with the way Muslims treat women generally. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yep.
And, you know, the status and all that.
Yep.
But I completely disagree with that woman going and ripping it off.
Brilliantly said.
Because that woman decided that she wanted to wear it, and for whatever reason she is wearing it, it's no one else's right to come and take it off based on what they believe. And that was just such a horrific statement on religion to me and from so many
No, you're
angles.
Right. It painted a very accurate picture of a problem.
Of where we're at.
That we have. Yeah.
Well,
for sure.
It's the old thing about some people are intolerant and some people believe that everything should be homogeneous and we should all be good old traditional Canadians.
Yeah.
And that's wrong, too. I mean, there's
being
a place.
Homo?
Well,
what did you say?
I don't know what you and Tim are doing after, but
I don't understand.
No, you know what I mean. Like that.
Or genius.
And there's a feeling amongst some people that, well, it's always been this way. And I always go, you know what, when it comes to, I know we haven't got time to get into this, but when it comes to things like Christmas, no, it hasn't always been this way. It's like a couple hundred-year-old invention.
Can we not go another hour?
We probably very much could, and we may do that over at the King's Arms. Okay, folks,
it's going to get all beery now, isn't
that
it?
That is our show for the day, and special thanks to Humble and Fred for joining us. Thoroughly enjoy talking to you guys. I really see authentic interest in this as opposed to it just being good radio. So, yeah, it's fascinating. This kind of stuff is always fascinating.
Drew, we've never known what good radio
is.
That's why we're on the internet.
How do you spell good radio? Yeah, that's right. Listen, I'm going to go out with a song, a tribute to my good friend Fred Patterson and your neck of the woods. Folks, you've been listening to the Drew Marshall Show. Do me a favor. If you're new to this great country, get the heck out of the left lane. Bye-bye. Jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle.